You are listening to Roquandia Radio. Good middle, Brox, dear listeners. Berticus here with Roquandia Radio, WYUMXB. I hope that you are having as wonderful of a time as, well, as can be had. Now, listeners, we have a few great things for you today. Cassidy is going to interview an engineer. There's a musical guest. It was a giant elephant. Listeners, that freaked me the hell out whenever the giant elephant showed up. But, you know, giant elephants showing up in my studio, I guess, is just par for the course, as this job has it. And also, listeners, there have been some crazy storms going across the multiverse, like insanity-level stuff. And y'all all heard about that Hurricane Dorian and how bad it was, and then there's this new tropical thing that just hit Houston? Yeah, hit Houston in some earth or another. And well, listeners, I will let you know that the hunt is on. The hunt is on for a new individual to edit because the monkey was fired. We all listened to what the monkey made. The monkey made something terrible. What were all those silent moments? What was he trying to do? Pause for effect? We don't know. We can't speak, monkey. So we fired him. Hopefully the chimpanzee can find another job. I'm sure dancing or something. Maybe with an organ grinder. Maybe not an organ grinder that grinds chimpanzee organs, though. I think that would be counterintuitive to the chimpanzee's health. That's all I'm saying. Now, let's get you into that music. Meet the elephant. Kiss here, and good Meadlebrox to you all. Today, I am with Trunksylvania, and... No. Trunksis? Trunkston! Ah, my apologies, Trunkston. You're from Trunksylvania?
Yes. Ah. We
have my people. Ah, so you're going to be singing a ditty that your people know.
Yes.
Where is your instrument?
It is... Right here, I will sing through my trunk. It is the way of our people. And I am here to tell you a story of my people. In a sing-song form. Shall I begin?
Gross, and yes. Go.
Thank you.
Did you like my song?
Do you need a Kleenex?
Did my story move your heartstrings?
It moves something.
I am glad to hear of this. I shall go back and tell my people.
All right. Check in with the person to get the pay, you know, normal thing.
Pay? Why, payment is enough to tell the story of my people. I must tell the universe, and now they all know. Thank you, kind friend.
Well, thank you.
Now. So long.
And that was quite an interesting musical presentation. That was a big elephant. Alright, onward to the other things. And we're back. Well, listeners, I now have to wait on the janitor, because Trunkston left me a brown lumpy present. I appreciate you, Trunkston. I really, really do. Well, listeners, where were we in the Tales of Nuckchuck? I believe our last discussion on Nuckchuck's journey was they had just left the city at the far exit, headed into the dark tunnels of which dwarves few fare to tread. Well, Nuckchuck explains here, as he walked for many, many miles with the caravan of 40-something dwarfs by now, and many, 4 mole rats and carts, they came across another band of goblins. Goblins popped out of some cracks in the ceiling and came down upon the travelers like liquid lightning upon their prey. The travelers, of course, with Nuckchuck's group, had purchased the very best of mercenary help, and those mercenaries gladly did their part. They were actually getting kind of bored, according to Nuckchuck, as they fell upon the caravan below. The warriors pulled their axes forward and gave an almighty dwarven war cry as they charged at the goblins amidst them. The goblins, they did not have a chance, listeners. They weren't even the weird, strong goblins like Nuckchuck speaks about previously. They were some sort of weaker, punier goblin. And again, listeners, what goblin isn't weak and puny? As they finished with their goblin massacre, they traveled a bit more and found a nice resting spot and put up for a night. Well, it was this night in particular that Nuckchuck references, as everyone in the group woke up screaming that they had to find some sort of cavern. And in that cavern, they would find jewels upon jewels.
Hi there, listeners. Cassidy here, asking if you would mind sharing our stories and bringing them out there to the masses. Tell your friends about us. And, of course, if they say no, hack into their computers and put it there. Not you. Now, listeners, if you want to help make the podcast better, you can always go to anchor.fm/ROKWIND. And that will lead you to our own little page on Anchor. Well, listeners, I've got to get back to finding my new victim, I mean, my new interviewee.
As they each sat around the morning fire, making their breakfast brews, they discussed the dream they had. Some dreamed of many, many perils in this cavern of crystals. All dreamed of something bad happening there. No one dreamed of anything good happening there. But one thing was certain. There was a crack that looked distinctive. There was a cavern that was filled with gems. And they all agreed, by the end of their breakfast drinking, that no matter what, they would seek out this cavern of gems, for gems were what they were there to find. And by gosh, they were not going to go without finding this elusive gem. Anyway, besides that, as a highly specific crag, as Elbeard put it, and it's not really something that we expect to find. Everyone agreed to this, believing that it was a very smart statement after all. It was a dream. Yes, they all had a similar dream, but all the dreams ended differently. With what felt like some of their most horrific fears. One of the people who set up the entire group, their leader Nelson, explained that he believed it was once he grabbed a gem, he got so much money he couldn't spend it all. That was actually his nightmare of not being able to spend his money. All the dwarves found this to be quite hilarious, and they all wished that would happen. So they agreed that if they found the crack, they would investigate. Well, listeners, Nutchuck continues that that day they wandered far and wide, going as deep as they could go with their spelunker's assistance and their cartographers ensuring that they did not stray too far, and the eldest earthmage in the group always taking care to ensure that landslides did not occur. Yeah. Where was that noise again? Did you hear it, listeners? I heard it. I've been hearing it. A little bit. Kind of a lot. Anyway, where was I? Ooh. Yes. So, with the eldest in Earth Mage ensuring that, or Earth Priest, he doesn't really specify, Nutchuck. He says he just tried to talk to the old man, but he speaks some form of dwarven that just sounds ancient and doesn't understand it at all. Anyway, with his help, they ensure that there are no landslides or cave-ins. It's actually, a dwarf's fears to have the rocks cave in on top of them at some point or another. While they wandered, the Earth Mage coughed and said something to the second oldest dwarf in our party, some elder fire priest or something. He likes to wear red, but mainly we know he's a fire priest because he smokes a lot. And I don't mean cigarettes. According here, Nutchuck explains, he smokes out of his ears and his hair. In any part of his body, his pores tend to just smoke occasionally. And when he breathes, it is smoke sometimes. But the man is eternally about to catch on fire. And it is believed that it's connected directly to his temper. Well, the eldest speaks to him, and they call him the second eldest, or just the angry fire wizard. Behind his back. And then the angry fire wizard, second eldest, turns to the group and goes, "My father has explained to me that up ahead there is a great chasm or a cleft in the wall that leads to a cavern of some sort." Now, these wizards, these priests, did not receive any sort of nighttime visions. So they are unaware, except of what was discussed around the breakfast table, or the breakfast fire in this case. Well, they approach and go in the direction of this cleft. And, well, listeners, I'll bring that up next time. But now we have to go on into Cassidy. Discuss some things there. And I have to re-listen to a few things, listeners, and figure out if I'm hearing things. Or if there's something saying, yeah.
Good Middlebrocks, everybody. My name is Mr. Cassidy, and today I am speaking with Damathorn. Damathorn Edwul. Damathorn Edwul, and he is an engineer, or as some may call it, a dam worker. Are you a dam worker, Mr. Damascalis?
It's Damathorn. And no, I take resentment to being called a dam worker. I am a dam engineer. I build and design entities that hold back massive amounts of water, and utilizing that water with hydroelectric systems and turbines to create electricity for all to enjoy.
Hey, what was that? Did you hear that, Damathorn?
That's Damacorn. Yeah, what was that? You have a weird library, mister.
Well, where were we? Yes. You were telling me about your job, and then I was going to ask you, do people fish off of your dam?
What? Do people fish off of my dam?
I'm not sure.
My dam? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I think that beautiful lady voice said it directly for me. I'm not sure. Though, I did tell you, we have a lot of damn fish.
You do you? You have fish at your dam?
Well, yeah. Yeah, we raise a lot of damn fish. They help clean up the water and stuff. They ensure that all the, you know, the algae don't build around the dam.
You have damn algae?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess you call it damn algae. And we got lichen that builds up on the dam, too.
Damn lichen, you say?
Yeah, it's all over the place. It gets really annoying. And oh, Lord, don't even get me started on the amount of birds that poop on the dam.
Do you mean you have damn feces everywhere?
Well, in a way, yeah. It's quite annoying. The problem is when we get all that fishing line and all, you know, fishing nets all stuck up in the hydroponics. Not hydroponics, the hydroelectric systems. And the turbines.
Wait, are you saying that a bunch of damn wire and damn nets get stuck up in your damn turbines? And then you gotta get a damn worker to go out there and pull all that damn shit out?
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't really know why you're excited about it or anything. It's just, you know, it's a bunch of shit in the dam. We gotta pull it out, drag out the nets, and pull out all that wire and string. Sometimes we get other things stuck up in there. Like, you know, this one time, we got an entire buoy.
What? You had a damn buoy?
A what? I don't know. That was weird.
Are you okay, Mr. Cassidy?
I honestly don't know today. I'm kind of got like this second personality thing going on. I think it may be a cold. I usually come up with a second personality whenever I have a cold. Do you?
No. Not at all.
Are you okay, Mr. Damathorn?
It's Damacorn, damn it! This place is freaking me out a bit. Have you seen those shadows moving over there? I swear, it's been getting closer.
Aw, that's just Petey. He wants to pet your insides.
What does that mean?
It means that I have to move you along and get you away from him before he gets too friendly. Petey likes getting friendly with strangers.
I think it's stranger danger.
Probably. Goodbye now.
And we're back, listeners. Wow. That was a damn good story about a damn good damn engineer. And that damn was right. It was a correct damn. Yes, listeners, I would love to go on with you hours on end with all these damn puns. But I'm damn sure that you're done with them. Now, speaking of dams, we've got news that dams aren't good. Dams aren't good for the environment at all, listeners. If you're out there and you're listening, no matter what universe you are listening on, dams are not good. In some cases, in very small cases, dams are acceptable. But in most cases, they interrupt the funky flow of the world. You know what I mean? They interrupt its movements and how it handles things and its correct erosion patterns and the flood patterns and where sediment needs to get to. And it helps just kind of move everything around. If you don't have this ability, you tend to screw things up, and then you put too much water weight in an area, and you could cause cracks, and the foundation of the planet itself, you know, there could be problems. I'm no engineer, so I can't tell you what those problems could be specifically, but I sure as hell could tell you one thing, listeners. That, you know, environments are kind of fragile things, and you don't know what you're going to do to really, really turn the tide on it. But I let you know that whenever billions of things are doing something, it's always going to turn the tide. So, if all you listeners out there start thinking more about it, maybe we could fix something. Speaking of fixing something, the moon problem is fixed, listeners. Happy, happy day. Happy day, it has concluded. Last night, at around 0400, the old moon sat there glowing with its deep red eyes and its large open maw and that tongue thing hanging out like it's been for the last few weeks. And the new moon just came trundling by, glowing all phosphorescent with all of its heat and emissions and causing all sorts of problems. Nobody's like the new moon. The old moon don't cause anything. It just asks for sacrifice every now and then. And we can deal with that here in Roquandi, listeners. That's nothing. But burning up all our fields, changing our entire tidal networks, causing no end of communications disruptions due to your entirely odd gravitational pull that disagrees with all physics known to mankind to this very day. Screw you, new moon. And, well, the old moon ate it.
reached its tongue around and wrapped it, and it was smoky. And you could tell even from the ground that something was happening there. There were some sort of fire catching or something. And then it dragged that new moon into its massive open maw and clamped down on it. And now our moon is two sizes bigger. Still got the same tidal fluctuations, people. And gravitational is about, you know, the same as when both of them were close together. But the nice thing is we no longer have two constantly moving around, causing all sorts of clash and tidal activities. Have you ever seen tidal waves smack down each other in the middle of the ocean? Well, it looks beautiful as hell, but that poor ship caught in the middle does not think so, listeners. It does not think so at all. So happy day, listeners. Rejoice in the fact and the knowledge that the new moon has perished in a devastatingly beautiful blow of destruction. Well, that concludes our time for today. Enjoy your week until I speak to you again, probably on the morrow. Toodles.
List. System volume 0%.
You have been listening to Roquania Radio.